coming up.
Not convinced I've ever thought of you as being perky.
Yeah, it's odd.
Hi there, guys. Hello.
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 Terry Thomas style.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How do you say that?
I see what you did.
And they also think you're quite excited by it, I think.
She's noticed that, has she?
There was a wonderful hint of menace.
Oh, you see, I do think of myself as being quite perky. Yes.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. If you like to chat about all things voiceover, stuff like scripts and storytelling and how to get the most out of the words on a page, then you are in the right place, because this is the podcast for everyone who reads scripts out loud for whatever reason they want to do that.
True.
So let me introduce my co-host, Mark Rise.
Hello, hello. Now,
hello. Hello, Mark. Today's fun fact about Mark. You're going to like this, guys.
Yeah.
Today's fun fact about Mark is that when he was 18 or 19...
Salacious warning.
I know. If you of a nervous disposition...
Look away now.
He was hired with a few mates to record material for 0898 numbers.
Yeah. The material is definitely in inverted commas. It was erotic fiction. We basically sat around a table with five mics and a few bottles of wine and got drunker and drunker, just being as dirty as we could.
Oh my God.
Without actually doing it on the table, but faking doing it on the table.
Oh no, so it was unscripted.
Oh, it was totally unscripted. It was go in there, have a laugh, and we'll see what we get out of it. But
wow.
Back in the day, 0898 numbers were huge and made the company a lot of money.
Well, yes.
I hope none of it still exists. It was 35 years ago or so, so...
Wow.
Well, my co-host is Sam Boffin, who once had her bike... This is much more mundane,
yes,
Sam,
it
this
is
one.
Much more mundane,
she once had her bike stolen.
Yes.
And it was returned over a year later. So I guess that really does happen then
it
sometimes.
It does. It was nicked from outside the station. And then literally about a year later, a policeman turned up with it.
Amazing.
So we found your bike, love.
Amazing.
And I know, I was amazed. And I still have that lovely bike.
Oh, that's
I still
good.
Also had the one from the insurance, but let's not go there.
Shh, no. We don't mention that.
And, of course, we also have a special guest, who this week is voice actor Louisa Gummer. Hello, Louisa.
Hi, Louisa.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
That's quite all right.
Louisa is an absolute legend.
She really is. This is a legend episode. Yeah, absolutely.
She is. She's my legend. And she's an award-winning professional voiceover and has been for over a decade. And Louisa's voice can be heard on thousands of commercials and corporate videos around the world. And I know this for a fact because I often hear her voice in the ad breaks when I'm sitting on my sofa.
I think we all do, yeah. Her voice also pops up in unusual places like MRI scanners, the cockpits of private planes,
if you've
ever been in one of those. And even on London's Northern Line as well. Hey, Louisa, have you got a fun fact you can share with us?
I considered going with the fun fact that I married Ian Beale.
Nice.
Because my one episode of EastEnders was as the registrar at one of his many weddings.
Well, that's pretty good.
I like that.
Which is pretty good. But instead, we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole. So there is a sub fact, which is that Tom Cruise follows me on Twitter.
Nice.
And it's a little weird, but I think it's the same reason that the Graham Norton Show follow me on Twitter. And that's
right.
Really weird, because they only follow 630 people. And if you look at who they follow, I'm the only one I'd never heard of. So I think they are both labouring under the misapprehension that Meryl Streep is my mother.
Oh, my God.
Meryl Streep's married name is Gummer. Her two oldest daughters are Mamie and Grace, and they both act very successfully with the surname Gummer. Her son Henry is a musician, and he uses his middle name, Henry Wolfe. And her youngest daughter is called Louisa.
Yes, yes, yes.
So my fun fact is that Meryl Streep is not my mother, but there are people who think she is.
Well, on that relationship bombshell, let's have a look at the first script of the show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so this is something that I have been working on recently.
It's got Ealing in it, and that's where, yes. Roughly where you live. So I figured that this was a local project.
It is a local project. Well, it is a local project, but it's TFL project, in fact.
I was going to ask you, did they come to you because they knew you were local, or is that just happenstance?
Yeah, it's just happenstance, really, gosh. I think.
So it's a walking tour. You presumably knew everywhere within the walking tour.
I did.
Nice.
As it happens, yeah. Although I did learn an awful lot about the history of Ealing that I didn't know before.
That's one of the benefits of our job, isn't it? All the random learning that you get that you would never have got otherwise.
I did two full Photoshop courses and now I figure I know how it works. I don't, but I kind of fool myself. Any other questions about the script, Louisa, that you want to ask before we go for it?
Unless Pitthanger Manor is pronounced in an unusual way, I don't think so.
No, it is absolutely pronounced exactly the way you said it.
Good. Well, that's probably a good thing.
I think it's quite a straightforward thing. It's just getting that that friendliness and the pace, really.
Well, I'll give it a go and then Louisa can have a go. Right,
okay. Right.
Hello. As part of Ealing's Walking Improvements Project, this audio guide will take you around Ealing Town Centre on foot, highlighting many aspects of the town's history, including a wide variety of architectural styles and historic sites. Take a walk into the past and enjoy the present. Ealing has a number of delightful cafes, boutiques and green spaces to discover. The walk takes about 1.5 hours at a leisurely pace. So let's start here, at Pitthanger Manor.
Amazing.
Too fast.
Well, it's slightly fast. Your hello was, I must admit that whenever I see hello at the beginning of a sentence, I think, oh, really?
It freaked me out. I didn't know quite how to go into it, so I just went for it.
For me, I find actually it quite challenging. I don't know why. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like, welcome. But hello, it seems, I don't know, somehow.
It comes up more at the beginning of podcasts, I find, than anything else.
Yes, you're
You wouldn't do it in a commercial, necessarily. I think it's assumed that they've sat down, pressed play, and then the first thing they hear is you going, hello.
Yes, exactly. Now, you see, you did a hello beautifully there.
Yeah, but arguably a podcast is more like a radio show where if you've got a host, you would say hello.
But then an audio guide is like a podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
From absolutely.
That perspective,
it's in your ears in exactly the same way, actually.
Yeah.
So that would be the only thing that it was quite perky.
Perky,
quite perky. I don't often get to use that word. Perky.
I wonder if Pinky's around the corner as well.
I'm not convinced I've ever thought of you as being perky.
Really? Oh, you see, I do think of myself as being quite perky. Yes.
Now, you see, I think there are adjectives that have come into common parlance for one gender or another, and I'm afraid perky is one of those adjectives that the national press have associated with young women to the point that it doesn't really apply to anybody else.
I mean, you know me. Genuinely wasn't thinking that.
No, I'm doing
surprise, surprise.
No. But now it's just a whole raft of different emotions from me now, Mark. Different emotions.
Right. Anything you'd like to add, Louisa, about my read?
No, I didn't think it was too fast. But then that's because I talk quite fast, and so I consciously have to slow down, and I find that challenge, the balance between slowing down and making it conversational, really hard.
It is difficult.
Because conversational for me is quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, you somehow, if you slow it down too much, you feel as though you're losing energy. And it needs that energy. It needs that friendly energy.
And also, you lose sense sometimes too.
I'd love to hear what Louise is going to do.
Oh, God. Now I've set it up, haven't I? This could be a car crash or it could be quite entertaining. We will see. I'm sure it'll be fine, but you know. Okay. Hello. As part of Ealing's Walking Improvements Project, this audio guide will take you around Ealing Town Centre on foot, highlighting many aspects of the town's history, including a wide variety of architectural styles and historic sites. Take a walk into the past and enjoy the present. Ealing has a number of delightful cafes, boutiques and green spaces to discover. The walk takes about 1.5 hours at a leisurely pace. So, let's start here, at Pitthanger Manor.
Talk about friendly. That was really friendly.
I thought it was gorgeous, I mean, it feels, because actually this is going to be a certain kind of demographic, my suspicion is.
Yes.
So that's why I think that we need to be fairly measured with the pace. And I thought what you did, Louisa, I love the way you broke up certain bits of it to make it sound friendlier.
Yep.
I loved that.
Agreed.
I think these poor people have got to listen to the voice for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And however interesting the facts are, if they don't want to listen to the voice, they will zone out.
True. Mm.
So I think you have to talk. It's like radio, you're talking to one person, and you actually are talking to one person
exactly
at any
right.
point in time here.
Yeah. Now, you thought my hello was perky, Sam. Louisa's hello was really perky as well.
I liked Louisa's hello.
Yeah, me too.
It was really nice. I mean, and isn't it ridiculous to get, you know, to hone in on one word?
But we've now fixated.
I've fixated and I won't be able to say it myself. I'll have to just, you know.
Hi there, guys.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Terry Thomas style.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Right, Sam, show
so
us how you did it.
Well, I'll show you how I did it, but yeah.
I want to hear the hello that you come up with.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah, you're under huge pressure now.
Well, hello. No, I won't do it like
did
that.
Did you?
You're not allowed to put extra words in the script.
Not allowed to embellish. Right. Okay.
Hello. As part of Ealing's Walking Improvements Project, this audio guide will take you around Ealing Town Centre on foot, highlighting many aspects of the town's history, including a wide variety of architectural styles and historic sites. Take a walk into the past and enjoy the present. Ealing has a number of delightful cafes, boutiques, and green spaces to discover. The walk takes about 1.5 hours at a leisurely pace. So, let's start here, at Pitshanger Manor.
Love it. You went deliberately down on hello there.
I do.
You took that in your brain and you went, how am I going to do
it? I cannot. Hello!
Hello! It's like, I like that.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was quite, what's the word? Conservative.
It was.
Yes, with a small C, yes.
That comes back to what you were saying about the audience. The audience is unlikely to be teenagers.
Yep.
It might be the odd mum with a stroller, if she wants to have a reason to push the pram. But it's more likely to be people who have more than enough time on their hands to do this, and therefore retired or semi-retired.
Yeah, so it's definitely horses for courses that they choose. Yeah, exactly. You need to kind of lean into what the audience is likely to be. And of course, if one had limitless funds, something like this could be done in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And then it would be a different script, though, of course.
It would need to be rewritten for different audiences.
Yeah. But we don't have limitless funds.
Who does?
Nobody does. Exactly right.
Nobody does.
It is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we've been working on, but we've changed names and some details to avoid copyright issues. It wasn't Ealing at all, was it, Sam?
No, I've never done anything like this in Ealing. How ridiculous.
And Pitshanger Manor isn't even a place, which is why I can't really say it.
It doesn't even
well.
Exist. So, Louisa, tell us a bit about your script.
Mm. Okay, so... I was asked to narrate a documentary about beekeeping. It was a documentary about urban beekeeping, but about how that's actually causing problems.
Would you describe it as Nat Geo style, maybe more modern than that, maybe less modern than that? How would you look at it?
It was meant to be informative and friendly. It wasn't serious and dark. It wasn't one of these, the whole world is falling apart, we have to do something type documentaries.
Because it could be read that way.
It could. It was made quite clear that that's not what they wanted, that it was informative, it was interesting. And yes, there were some concerns, but it wasn't about doom and gloom.
I've got two questions, if that's okay. One
no
is a pronunciation.
I can answer either of them.
Crouch Valley, Crouch Valley.
Crouch, I think.
Like crouching down. Okay. The second one is where it says 1338, and obviously that's time code.
Yes.
Where it says back in Zurich. Now, you would think that that would be a super, a caption.
You would, but it wasn't.
It's like a sentence by itself, and that's kind of throwing me.
Well, what you've got to bear in mind, though, is in between that has been quite a bit of dialogue between somebody and a beekeeper. And I think they just used it as a placekeeper. And yes, it could make sense to have it as a screenshot, but they chose to have it in the voiceover.
Okay.
They may have edited it out, but it was in the script when I recorded it.
Funnily enough, because of it, it kind of adds to that friendly tone to me. Mm. I don't know, it feels quite light and...
It's quite modern, isn't it?
Yeah,
a bit
absolutely.
Like the sort of documentaries that say, back in Bristol, and we're with so-and-so.
Exactly.
And it's that sort of style, so... Mm-hmm. For me, it didn't feel that odd, but yes, on the page, it can look a little strange.
The other reason that I thought this script worked really well, was very interesting. It's interesting on the page because obviously it's very clear that there are pieces of upsound at various points.
Yep.
I love that terminology. Up sound. I've never heard that before.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. But and also they've given you the out point, so yes, you know as the voice how long you've got. They haven't just given you the incoming time code, as it were.
You know each slot that you have to fill.
Yeah, which I think is really useful, actually. Anyway, so I should give it a go.
Good luck.
Apart from the dark bee drones intended for breeding, no other foreign drones can get into the Crouch Valley. The high mountains shield the valley in all directions. Back in Zurich. Until about 20 years ago, most beekeepers here traditionally kept dark bees, but now they're being visibly displaced by other overbred, non-native honeybees. Urban beekeeping is booming. The number of bee colonies is steadily increasing, and to increase their honey yield, beekeepers are turning to honeybee breeds that produce larger colonies. Just like Anna has done, she has made beekeeping her profession.
Oh, it's so documentary. I would absolutely sit down and listen to that.
I wondered if I needed to be actually a little bit flatter.
I think styles change all the time. Yeah. And I think, and certainly in documentary, they change hugely. And what I would have done 10 years ago, I try very hard not to still do now. But it's still a style that I fall back into.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't think you were mannered. I think you were a little serious. And I'm not sure it's that serious.
Yep.
I mean, it's not funny, but I don't think it's that serious either. If that makes any sense. It's light.
Absolutely. It's lighter. And I that could have just as easily worked for an ambulance.
Or a dog home, absolutely.
Yes, I could feel as I was doing it, there was something off about it. But fascinating.
In order to keep booking documentaries, you have to adapt your style.
And also I find when you go in, because often documentaries are, are directed sessions. And often I find at the beginning of those sessions, there's a point where you sort of shimmer down, if you like, into the style that they're looking for.
Yes.
And I find that really useful. So, you know, I might have done that read and then gone, oh, do you know, it's a little bit whatever. And then they go, no, and we'll try it again. And so you get there by degrees.
I've always found that I've settled in after about the first three prompts. And then I will always recommend, if they don't, when we finished, that I go back and do the first three or four again. Because by that time, A, I understand what I'm saying.
So
if I haven't pre-read the script.
Yeah.
But also I'm in the zone.
Yeah. And you also soak up often, if you're doing them to picture particularly, you're soaking up the style, the music, because you never get to see them before
the
you go
style,
in.
Yes.
No, never.
You just don't. You just are sort of handed that script and off you go.
Yeah, let me give it a go. Apart from the dark bee drones intended for breeding, no other foreign drones can get into the Crab Valley. The high mountains shield the valley in all directions. Back in Zurich, until about 20 years ago, most beekeepers here traditionally kept dark bees, but now they're visibly being displaced by other overbred, non-native honeybees. Urban beekeeping is booming. The number of bee colonies is steadily increasing, and to increase their honey yield, beekeepers are turning to honeybee breeds that produce larger colonies. Just like Anna has done, she has made beekeeping her profession. I shouldn't have gone up there at the end.
Well,
depends what's happening next. She's just about to speak. Arguably, that's okay.
That's true, maybe, actually.
Yes.
You're going, and now for Anna.
I liked it, but I think you did what I did. That was too serious.
It's a really difficult balance because it is informative and you're telling people a lot in these little bits. Mm. Because I've always thought that with documentary, I've always thought a really good narrator is someone who sits on your shoulder and goes, and now you need to know this. You need to know this too. And now you need to know this. And arguably, the best narrator, you don't even remember that you were being spoken to.
Yes.
A good script and a good documentary narrator means that you've just come out informed and you haven't had the narrator take over the presence of the pictures. And they also think you're quite excited by it, I think.
Excited's a nice word.
That's what we didn't get out, Sam, maybe.
Yes.
We didn't get that we were excited. But,
yes, I think excited is a really... It's really good to have an intention. I do like an intention.
Yes, you do like an intention. Absolutely. Well, let's see Louisa's intention.
Oh, God,
now,
I've really sold it now, haven't I? Let's see if I can remember what I did. Okay. Apart from the dark bee drones intended for breeding, no other foreign drones can get into the Crouch Valley. The high mountains shield the valley in all directions. Back in Zurich, until about 20 years ago, most beekeepers here traditionally kept dark bees, but now they are visibly being displaced by other overbred non-native honeybees. Urban beekeeping is booming. The number of bee colonies is steadily increasing, and to increase their honey yield, beekeepers are turning to honeybee breeds that produce larger colonies. Just like Anna has done, she has made beekeeping her profession.
Yes.
I see what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved it. It had a bounce to it.
I think it does need something, because
it
otherwise
does.
It's just a stream of facts.
And there wasn't as much pausing as I had expected. You kind of ran things on nicely.
Yeah, I love the way you did that.
I've also always felt that if they want pauses, they'll have put them in.
Yes.
I mean, there's full stops, but if they want there to be big pauses, they will have, because they're very good at giving one line and then another one line in these scripts.
And that worked really well, but it changed the nature of the way the read went. And
yeah,
that was lovely.
Which is how it worked, absolutely. Mm.
Every day's a school day, which is brilliant.
I know. We pick up all this stuff.
We do. We absolutely do.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, now it's time for the wild card section. Let's see if we can approach these scripts in a completely different way. Louisa, you get to choose first. Can you pick one of the scripts for Sam and give her a character and an action or a motivation for it?
Okay. I would like you to do script one, which is the Ealing walking script, because I think you know that better, so it'll be more of a stretch for you to do it differently.
Oh, okay. She's noticed that, has she?
Look, I know, I'm speaking from experience. I know how hard that is. Yeah. And I would like you to do it as if it's the promo for a dark, creepy thriller.
Okay.
I can see how that would work as well.
Yes, okay.
Hello. As part of Ealing's Walking Improvements Project, this audio guide will take you around Ealing Town Centre on foot, highlighting many of the aspects of the town's history, including a wide variety of architectural styles and historic sites. Take a walk into the past and enjoy the present. Ealing has a number of delightful cafes, boutiques, and green spaces to discover. The walk takes about 1.5 hours at a leisurely pace. So let's start here at Pitshanger Manor.
I love your proximity to the mic technique there. Oh, my word. I literally physically shook like somebody had walked over my grave about halfway through.
That was at Enjoy the Present, I think.
Yes, it was. It was exactly there.
There was a wonderful hint of menace in that. If you dare was the undercurrent and its subtext. If you dare.
Wow, that was quite fun to do, actually. Yeah.
Also, I loved the way you said Pitshanger Manor at the end. There was a definite threat in that as well.
Yeah, wasn't there? Like Pitshanger Manor is this terrible place where awful things have happened. Yeah, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's lovely.
I'm sure it's gorgeous.
But you hinted that it was raining and there was thunder and the door was about to creak open in
literally
the dark.
Creaking and Igor was going to come to the door. Yes. All right, well, I get to choose one for Louisa now. I've got a kind of cartoony idea, Louisa, if you're okay with that. I think of a cartoon where the main character, and put whatever spin on that you want, grows a second head. So you've got two heads talking to each other. So one head is really meek and mild, and the other is really quite bitchy.
But they're talking to
each other. And they're kind of arguing with themselves.
Oh my lord.
I'm probably going to give you Ealing's walking tour. Split them as you will. It doesn't have to be per sentence or anything. It can be one interrupting the other or whatever.
I can only apologise, Louisa. I can only apologise from the bottom of my heart.
I have to say, I don't think I have ever, and I hope never will ever, actually get that direction in a session.
I think it might be quite fun.
You can add or take away words.
Yes,
so
yes,
feel
you
free.
Can, you can be as
feel
as
free,
outrageous with it as you like.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to need it. Okay, fine. Hello. As part of Ealing's Walking Improvements Project, this audio guide will take you around Ealing Town Centre on foot, highlighting many aspects of the town's history, including a wide variety of architectural styles and historic sites. Take a walk into the past and enjoy the present. Ealing has a number of delightful cafes, boutiques and green spaces to discover. Oh, the walk takes around an hour and a half at a leisurely pace. So let's start here at Pitt's Hanger Manor.
Lovely. Really lovely. And the two different characters were so obvious. You brought them both to the table so beautifully.
Yeah.
And I said cartoony, and you went cartoony, and I could visualise that really easily. I thought that was lovely.
Yeah, that was
I used as my inspiration something, it's not a something, and that, but there's not two people either. Have you ever come across the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre?
No, oh, but it sounds
brilliant. I want to now.
Two socks
that
are absolutely and utterly distinct,
wow,
who talk with a falsetto Scottish accent, and basically everything always goes wrong.
Wow.
And they've been going for an awfully long time. And I will say, I know the person who might be more intimately connected to the socks than the socks would like to admit. And so I've known of that, of them, for a long time, and they are just very, very funny. So I basically chose a sort of bickering couple in my head and tried to make it work. But
it did work. I dread to think what Sam's going to come up with for me now.
Sam, make it good.
I think I'm going to give you
a... really good.
I would like to give you... Well, you've got script two, that's for sure. I want you to be a paranoid conspiracy theorist.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. I want you to be absolutely paranoid. And you are... Well, you're either... on a phone, or you're on a call, you know, an online video call or something, mm-hmm, but you are letting people know about this.
I'm currently watching Manifest.
Ooh.
And that's quite full of paranoid theories.
Oh,
so...
well, you'll walk it then.
Okay. Right, but no, apart from the dark bee drones intended for breeding, that no other foreign drones, so they say, can get into the Crouch Valley. The high mountains shield the valley in all directions, okay, like a tin hat. But back in Zurich, till about 20 years ago, now, most beekeepers here traditionally kept those dark bees. You know, the dark ones. But now, they're visibly being displaced by other overbred non-native honeybees. We've got to do it. Urban beekeeping is booming. The number of bee colonies steadily increasing. And to increase their honey yield, beekeepers are turning to honeybee breeds that produce larger colonies, right? Just like Anna's done. She's made beekeeping her profession.
God, Anna. Anna's clearly at the bottom of it all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that is her profession, is it?
Really? No, exactly.
No.
I think she's a spy.
They're creating a bit of a buzz. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oof. Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, moving rapidly on, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself.
Yes, you absolutely can. You can. And our question this week for Louisa is, and I'm very interested in your answer, is what is the aspect of your job that you most love and what you most loathe?
Oh, okay. What I most love is the fact that I never quite know what I'm going to be doing on a daily basis.
Good.
And that I get to say the most ridiculous things and do the most ridiculous things and get paid for it. And
nice.
Go home at the end of the day occasionally and go, well, that was just
that
stupid.
Was weird.
But that was such fun. The thing I find most difficult, it's a combination of It's the counterbalance to that in a way. Because I don't know what I'm going to be doing on a daily basis, you have that dread that maybe nothing's going to appear at all.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
But also, and this I think might surprise you a little, can't stand invoicing.
Oh, I know. Yes. Even though that's the thing that brings the money in.
Yes.
Even though my reputation within the industry a bit is that I'm a maths whiz and I understand the
absolutely.
Numbers.
Absolutely.
But it's the focusing on putting all the information on the piece of paper and sending it off that drives me to distraction.
I think that's entirely fair.
Do you do it all in one go, or do you always do it immediately after you've done the job, or do you save them up for one
geeky person coming here now? I've got a spreadsheet. I've got a whole system with free agent and everything, but I've also got a spreadsheet that acts like my job sheet. So every job I do goes in there, and then when I've issued the invoice, you see, really geeky. Ooh, the invoice number goes next to it, so I know I've done it.
I'm exactly the same, Louise, or I do exactly the same.
Because otherwise I miss things.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Or I just forget to invoice people.
Totally.
And then, which is really stupid because it's my business I'm running. But because it's the least fun bit of the job, really. Yeah. You do the job, you have a cup of tea afterwards and congratulate yourself on, and again, persuading somebody you know what you're doing when you don't really feel you do. And the invoicing bit's the boring bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam, what do you love and loathe?
I love jobs that are collaborative jobs. You know, when you're going out into a studio and you're working with other voices. Yep. I love those the most.
Actually seeing real people.
Yeah. Seeing real people and also just bouncing off other people. You know, it feels so alive to do that. So it's a weird job because I've chosen a job that 90% of the time
standing
is
in a box
and myself
talking to yourself in a padded cell. Exactly.
And yet the bit I really love is, you know, when I go out and I meet people physically in their studios and their spaces. That's what I love. And actually you won't be at all surprised to hear this, Mark, what I absolutely hate. I'm just not organised. I'm very disorganised. In fact, I don't even have a spreadsheet of any kind. I know. How do I do these things? But so it's the organisational part of it, actually.
For me, I love and loathe the same thing.
Oh,
I love
Mark.
Clients. And I also loathe clients. Not necessarily the same people. Some clients I love and some clients I just want to get rid of, but they bring in some money, so I don't. But do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And I also love live sessions and hate them.
Yes, because for the same reason.
They save an awful lot of time. Everybody agrees on getting what they want. But also, they can take 20 times longer if somebody insists in trying to get you to do what they want without necessarily having the vocabulary to get what they want or express what they want.
Or they are a money's worth and they're paying you for an hour, so they're going to use an hour, even if they know they're going to take the first
take.
Even
if you're done in 10 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Louisa, for coming on. It's been so lovely to talk to you.
It's just nice to talk to people from my padded cell.
Yes, absolutely. Our three padded cells in different parts of the country all chatting to each other.
You've let the secret out, Mark. We're not all in a room together holding hands and off for a cup of tea.
Maybe one day, Sam. Maybe one day.
And, of course, a reminder that all of Louise's details can be found in the show notes.
Indeed they can. We'll also be putting today's scripts in the show notes so you can have a read yourself.
Ooh, so please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And feel free to give us a review if you'd like to.
But don't if you didn't.
No, don't say that, Louisa. I'm sure everybody liked it, especially your episode. Well, thanks again to Louisa Gummer. Okay.
Well, you say that.
Yeah, I say that now, exactly. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest. Another one. Louisa.
Yes.
When we'll be asking all together now.
How do you say that?
How do you say that?